Welcome. Thank you for communing and co-creating here for this full moon gathering. It's the full moon in Libra. And if you know anything about Libra, Libra is about balance, harmony, right? It likes, Loretta's a Libra. And any other, nobody else is a Libra in here, right? Oh, Arlene is a Libra. Okay. Yeah. So it likes balance and harmony. It likes everything to get along. Libras usually like community. They like to, gather and create through communities and stuff like that. So, Libra is a very good sign for the full moon to be in right now because we're needing to create more balance, more harmony, not just in the world around us, but within ourselves. And we have been doing so much work the last couple of years. If you've been in this community for the last 4 or 5 years, you know that the work has been centered around evolving the self out of the outer illusion. So we're not focused on it. It's not wreaking havoc on our emotional body. We start to see the reflection of ourself and what it is that we're needing to work on through our connections with others, whether it's family members, significant others, co-worker dynamics, could be client dynamics in all various forms, right? Could be social settings, community settings. And it's requiring that we really start to understand our inner makeup, our building blocks, if you will, right? The building blocks, the foundation that we were created through. Because while we all created a soul blueprint and we all came in here with let's say an idea of what it is that we'd like to experience, we were shaped by those around us. Even though we have a soul blueprint and we had contracts for what it was that we wanted to experience, we were shaped by our parents, our caregivers, our siblings, our friendships, our extended relatives, right? Everybody in our life was an influence for us as to how we ended up where we are now. And so, what's important to understand is that we are in the very final stages of unwrapping all that has kept us stuck, all that has limited our belief in ourself, our perception of ourself, our perception of our ability as a creative, as a co-creator in the reality. Okay. And so I know for myself, some interesting stuff has been taking place that's really making me look at myself as a creator. The expansion of that level of consciousness that wants to be evolved, that wants to break free from the confines, that wants to break free from the veil that we all incarnated with, because we all incarnated with a lullaby blanket over the consciousness, right? And so we came in with this blanket, the veil. That masks our ability to be psychic, to be ever knowing, to be present, all present, right? To know ourselves from our galactic aspects to our parallel reality aspects and how it is impacting our life in not only an emotional way, but also in a physical way. Okay. Last night, I happened to be working out something in the back of my right calf. My right hip has been, a problem probably since 2002, 2003. And I've been to so many places for it, right? So many different people for it. And some people would say it's psoas. Some people say it's sciatic. Some people say it's this, it's that. It's like, there have been like 1,001 different things. And this includes people who are readers, who are medical intuitives and the such. Okay. And then of course, probably in 2000 and I don't know, 2010, 2011. I had a client who was crazy about this massage therapist, and he suggested I rent out the small office to bring in extra income in the office that I had. I had an extra room, and I really didn't want to, but I was like, all right, I'll give her a shot, whatever. She can come in and do a massage on me and I'll see. If she's really good, then I will definitely consider renting the small room to her. And so that massage therapist, when she was done, she was stretching my legs while I was laying face down, and she hyperflexed my right knee. Never had a problem with my right knee until she did that. And then that hyperflexation impacted me in such a way that I could not walk. And I was going on a cruise in 4 weeks with my husband at the time. And I could not walk. I literally had to go get a knee brace. It was like when you hyperflex a muscle and it doesn't go back the right way, like my knee kept, the joint was misfiring, and every time I stepped on it, it would like pop out. And so it was not good. It was really bad. And needless to say, I was not gonna be renting to her, but just another experience in the realm of experiences I need to have. And so that right hip, that right leg that had already been impacted years before that, when I was going to the gym working out, carried a lot of emotion in it. Right side of the body, father energy, masculine, divine masculine. I was somebody that was always doing for everyone, doing for everybody else, figuring things out for everybody else, saving everybody else, right? Getting people out of a fire. My family, I mean, when I was young, and I'm telling you this for a reason, it's very important. When I was young, I used to have a reoccurring nightmare that my house was on fire, and I remember my parents and my brother being trapped in the house, and I had to go back in for them, and I stood in the doorway, willing them to become cardboard so that I could literally put them under my arm and carry them out of the house to safety. Okay. So there's like this long lineage with me with being a hero, the hero archetype, right? Coming in with the hero archetype. And so, with this right leg issue, the other night when I was massaging my calf, I was laying in bed. Wasn't even using my hand. I was using my heel on my left foot, right? And I was stretching at the same time, getting a deep stretch. Sometimes universe shows me these things and I just do them, and then something magical happened, right? And the magic here was that while I was doing this stretch and release down the back of my calf, all of a sudden, I flashed to a vision of one of the Japanese planes, the Zero planes, in Pearl Harbor. Now, I'm not a fan of any kind of war movies, war, memories or any. Like, I do not ask me to sit and watch any of that with you. I just can't. I won't. It's not anything I have a desire to do, not even for interest purposes. But when I did this on my calf, this vision in black and white showed up, except the red circle on the plane's wing. And then I heard the word Japanese Zero, for the plane, which I don't know anything about. And but I know it was in Pearl Harbor because that was the vibe that came through. And then I felt a release. There was a pop that happened in the back of my calf. And suddenly the calf wasn't bothering me in the way that it had been bothering me. And suddenly my hip was not bothering me in the way that it had been bothering me. Okay. And I realized that somewhere on a parallel reality from here, what we would call a past life, there's some version of me that might have been in the Pearl Harbor War in some way, shape, or form, or connected to that in some way, and possibly been shot down, evacuated the plane, something, and that right hip became impacted, and I've carried this for many years, and now the hip is fine. I have no issues with it. As a matter of fact, bending over to blow my hair dry, to get the back of the hair dry, if I flip my head down, I would get this really sharp shooting pain right under my right breast, where your diaphragm is and your liver energy is. And I never really understood why that happened all of a sudden. And people would say, well, your psoas muscle is probably really tight because the psoas runs up that side of the body and it does grab into the diaphragm. And so all of these different things, these different theories that had come. But what I learned through, external, right, to looking to the external to resolve what was going on within me, was that until we hit a particular place within ourselves where we are in the energy of letting go, healing can't happen. It just can't happen, right? It will never happen because we have to meet it where it is. We have to meet healing with where it expects us to meet it. Okay. And that's the energy that we're in right now. And so if we're looking at the dynamic of these planetary shifts and the alignments in the sky, it's going to bring us to review our lives in such a way as if we're looking in a mirror that is a looking glass to our past to see what it is that is being created, that has been created, that has impacted us, that has shaped us in the way that we're living our life. And that includes all of our fears, all of our beliefs, all of our patterning, all of our habits, all of it. We are probably, I know I might have said this every year leading up to this because it felt like this was the year. But the more I am in this energy and understanding what's taking place with the planets and the planetary alignment, I can tell you that this is the revolutionary year of change. Everything as we know it is going to make its fall in this year. Okay. And this moment coming up on, I think it's Saturday, when we have the full moon in the sign of Libra. And we also have Venus going direct after being in a placement of retrograde for 40 days and 40 nights, which, if you paid attention to prior classes, then you would have heard me say it is a very, very important time to make as much time for introspection as possible, because that's what Venus was having us do, point inward for the next phase of where the work is that we have to do on an internal level. So I did make some notes here. And I wanted to just start with that to let you know that this time that we're in is very, very powerful. I can't emphasize how powerful it is. It is the energy that shifts worlds, that creates new dynamics, that will literally pull you out of one place and put you in another. And you won't have to do anything to have that happen, okay? But it's going to require you, all of us, myself included, to be very still within, to be very introspective, to be very reflective. Okay. We are in what I would call, and we've talked about this in past years, the zero point field. We are finally there. So if we look at the idea of being in the age of Aquarius, right? And moving into that energy, which we have already started to do. We could not do that fully, anchoring in fully, until we had completions taking place. And that's what the Aries Libra eclipses were about. It's about the culminations, the wrapping up of the age of Pisces, which is what we're letting go of, as we are exiting the age of Pisces and stepping into the sign of Aquarius, sign of Aries, excuse me, which is the first sign of the zodiac, okay? As we step out of the age of Pisces, the 26,000 years of repression, and we step into the sign of Aries in this new light energy, we are right now in the point of the stillness of the zero point field. And I know some of you have noticed that things have felt like they were slowed down, like they were not moving forward, like everything was in stasis. And this is why, because we were coming into this moment where it's not about the outer reality anymore. We've been there, done that. It's about the inner reality, the inner creation, the inner consciousness, right? And how do we work with that to resolve the conflicts that are still presenting in our reality that are continuing to keep us stuck? Okay, so I made some notes, so I didn't want to forget anything or leave anything out. I'm sure there's going to be some really good bullet points to journal if you decide you want to journal them, or you want to come on and work through something that is reflective of what we're talking about. But as this reality collapses, I want you to take a look at where you are right now. What is taking place in your reality? Are you focused on the outside collapse? Or are you focused within? Are you focusing within knowing that the outer reality has no impact on your safety, on your survival, because it's just reflective of the illusion of the outer reality, because we know that everything in our life is created from the inner reflection of who we are. So that would be something to focus on, right? Focusing away from the chaos, the collapse, right? I'm not looking at it, but occasionally I'll get something that's saying, hey, this is happening over here, or that's happening over there. It's just validating that everything has to be broken apart. Okay. And certainly, those that I follow on Instagram, if I go into Instagram to answer a message, will pop up in my feed and I will see what they're engaging in. And I did see somebody mention something to do with the stock markets and a collapse there, right? Do not watch it. Because in this energy, there will not be a fall without a resurrection. It will not happen. That will only happen if you're focused on the fall and you're not focused inward, creating from the higher timelines, creating from the higher perspective. If we're so focused on something collapsing and falling apart, and we're giving our attention to that scenario, to that event, then we are focusing our energy on that. And in focusing our energy on that, the universe thinks we want more of that. So don't do that. We've talked about this a bazillion times in our classes. Okay. If something negative pops up, do not overfocus on it. Okay. I've given you the tools in the past, how to utilize this, how to deal with it. One of my practices, meet it head on. The minute it comes into my mind, the minute it becomes a thought, I meet it head on. And the thought would be, why am I thinking that? Why, where is that coming from? Where is this coming from? Why would I have such a thought? That thought is not my truth. It's not who I am. Right? And then I put it to bed because I'm not dwelling in it anymore. And I think it's amazing how the ego still wants me in the game so badly that it's willing to conjure up something so negative because there's still remnants of a past where I might be carrying something that I need to make myself feel small or diminished. I need to make myself feel irrelevant. I need to make myself feel inadequate. Okay. I'm telling you, the only way to counteract this, the only way to beat this is to be a gatekeeper to your thoughts. I cannot say this enough. If I am doing these classes and you are not listening to them, or you are not paying attention to the information, you are not taking notes, you are not absorbing this information, you're not going to have the ammunition you need in order to counteract what's going to come at you in your mind. You're just not. We have to take this seriously because we're crossing a threshold now where everything is that much more important. The energies are on the rise. Yeah, I lay in bed at night and there's a light show going on in my bedroom. Okay? Every night. The ceiling yesterday, last night, an orb went through really fast, like, shoo! And I was like, oh, look at that, right? And but that's then that, yeah, and light opens there, and then a spark here and a flash over there. And then I get the different energies manifesting, right? Like energies just continually manifesting all night long. Okay, all night long. Sometimes it feels like a spotlight opens up on the sides of my head, and then I've got this bright light, right? That's the unification of the two halves of the brain as we are coming into higher consciousness. Okay. The magic that we're seeking, the magic that we're desiring, the result in life that we're wanting to have, we need to do this. We need to do this for ourselves. If we're not paying attention to any of this and we're not focusing our attention, intention inward, we're going to fall short here. We need to get ourselves under control, basically. Because if we're relying on the outer illusion, the outer reality, we're going to be lost. Okay? So we have to put this all to use now. We have to put this to use. Okay? So where is the focus? Is the focus on the groups of people that you're connecting with, your friends, your family, the outer reality, communities that you deal with? Is that where your focus and your reflection is? When you're thinking about those different scenarios, are you thinking about how you're seen, how you're viewed, how you're appreciated or not appreciated? Right? Are you giving too much power to other people with regard to how you feel like you're seen? Or are you doing the inner work and you're reflecting your inward toward the self, right? Self-reflection. Are you looking in that mirror and you're having the dialogue with yourself? Because at the end of the day, that's what's needed in order to keep the ego in check. Ego is very good at making us think we are in lack. It's very good at making us think this 3D reality that we're operating in, this matrix reality that we're operating in, is all there is. Okay? It's not. And when you start to move past the limitations, the confines of what we thought was this bubble that we lived in, that is 3D matrix energy, and you start to see that everything beyond that is energy, right? And we could even think about loved ones that have crossed over. It's all energy. They haven't gone anywhere. The physical body went, but the soul is still there. It's still connecting in, right? It's just that they've moved on to another plateau, to another step, right? And sometimes we get lost and we can't find our way because we're so rooted in the stories and the programs and the belief systems and the patterning that we forget our power and limit ourselves, thinking that we don't have any. Okay. So it's really important this time more than ever. April is going to be a huge month for lots and lots of changes in the outer reality. We have to make sure that we are on top of things with our inner reality. Okay. Because that mirror that I mentioned in the beginning of this talk, that mirror, mirror on the wall, we all know that fairy tale, right? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, right? And we want that mirror to say, you are. You, it is you. Right? Because in the fairy tale, what does it say? It says Snow White is the fairest of them all, right? It's one person. And it's never pointing back at you. So we have to change that. We have to shift that. So that mirror that we're going to reflect into all month in April is going to bring up old wounds, okay? And they are going to be tied to family generationally, imprinting mother, father, right? I'm seeing them. I am seeing them. Just like the wound of that zero Japanese zero plane from Pearl Harbor, right? Or whatever, Hiroshima, whatever, was reflected in my right calf was I was releasing that muscle that was in spasm that had to do with the pain in my right hip. It's all reflective of these generational imprintings, even the patterning of what we would call past life, which is really a parallel reality. Okay. So I want to encourage you to take some time to journal over the next week, looking at what the family dynamic was with regard to wounds. So Loretta says, so that's my left knee pain. Yeah, this is where we can really sit with this energy, right? Just I was in the ethers as I was massaging my calf, and I wasn't even doing it with my hand because it would have taken more energy and exertion. So I was kind of laying almost on my stomach, but not quite on my stomach. I had a pillow kind of anchoring. I was stretching my shoulder blade on my left side, and I was reaching over, and I had my right hip under me, leg stretched out, and I was taking my left heel and I was just going like this, almost like myofascial release, right? And then I was lost in space doing it. I was so focused on the feeling. What was I feeling? What was I feeling in my calf? What was that feeling like? And I was just tuning and feeling the feeling of the energy in my calf. And the next thing I saw was the flash of that Japanese zero. And I was in the plane and boom. Right? It released. I don't know if I got shot down or whatever, but that pain is gone. It finally released, right? And looking back at it, maybe that massage therapist needed to hyperflex my knee so that I would go on a journey trying to find out, figure out what was going on with me with this hip and the left knee and all. The right knee, excuse me, and all of that. And maybe in some way, shape, or form, she was connected to another parallel reality lifetime where I needed to be injured in my knee. I don't know. I was never mad at her. I never held it against her. I didn't want her in my office doing that to anybody else. But, I never held it against her. I was never mad at her. But what I see now that I am wiser and more aware and more, opened to the infinite possibilities, I was capable of healing it for myself. And then, if that was a reflection on a timeline where I was in that plane over that, having that battle, then so be it. And that would make sense for me because I do not like war anything. Do not show it to me. It's not something I ever want to talk about or ever want to see. So I could see that being reflective for me, right? So old wounds presenting from family dynamic, family in specific. What were the dynamics within the family? Be honest. Be honest. Because up until my father passed away, and I got to watch this, the side of my mother that I never knew and did not like after I saw it. I always thought that my family was the epitome of the perfect family, right? And then, of course, the pin popped the balloon, and then I realized my family was extremely dysfunctional, and I spent years taking that story apart so that I could see the truth of the dysfunction in my family and see the truth about both my mother and my father. Okay. So when you look at that, look at what the role was, your role. At a very young age, I was a caregiver. My mom had purchased a beauty parlor. I think I might have been 10 or 11. And I was cooking dinner every night for my father, my brother, and myself at like 10 or 11. I was a very mature kid. I was, not having a very childlike life. I was taking care of the house. I was vacuuming on Saturday mornings and cleaning and doing all that stuff while my mom was at her beauty parlor and my father was at his job. So it was me always taking care of the family dynamics, taking care of other people, right? So that was my role. What was your role? Look at it. Take the rose-colored glasses off. Got to look at it with its truth so that you could see. Are you seeing that aspect of yourself reflect now? I do. And it requires boundaries because when I was younger, I was never taught about boundaries. There was this crossover dynamic within my family relationships, and there were never healthy boundaries there. So boundaries is something that through the years I have worked on. I have to tighten them up even more. Look at where that is for you. What are you seeing about yourself that you need to maybe take a look at and, make some changes? Diana's saying it sounds very similar to her. Yeah, we're gonna. That's why I share openly and I am transparent because I think some of you think I stand on the pedestal that my computer is resting on. I do not. I am going through this just like all of you are. But if you're not in the work and you're not doing the work, you're not going to have the same results. Right? There's nothing separating us. We are all one. We are all in likeness together. It's just that I spend every day in the work. I'm focused on being a gatekeeper to my thoughts. What are my thoughts saying in every moment so that I can counteract them? I'm here in this house. And Loretta was here. She could tell you. I'm on 5 acres. Okay. There's nobody, basically nobody around. If you look down the street, you're looking down an empty street. It's not like a neighborhood where you have house after house after house after house. You don't have that here. Each person has about 5 acres. Some people have more. Okay. So your neighbor's not right next door. And if I burp, he's not going to hear me. Right. Nobody. I mean, I might have to yell really loud in order for them to hear me. I don't hear them. I never hear anybody. I don't hear anybody talking. Okay. I don't hear. I was just thinking before I got on the call, I don't hear ambulances. I don't hear police cars. I don't hear any of that. You know what I hear? You know what there's a lot of here? There's a lot of people driving golf carts up and down the road. Okay. I live in a very, very, very rural community. Right, Loretta? There is nothing here. If I go to the store, it's at least a half an hour trip one way. Okay. And then if I want to go to like a Michael's, it's 1 hour and 20 minutes away. Okay. It's wonderful. I love it. Loretta said it's wonderful too. Don't for one second think that I am in any way, shape, or form unhappy with my living situation. It is perfect for me, right? Some people it would drive crazy, but I don't mind not going out to dinner or lunch every other day. I cook all the time. I'm having the time of my life, right? And I'm loving what I've created for myself because the universe pulled me here. I didn't do this. I was in resistance to it. If you remember the cartoon Pepe Le Pew, right, where he's chasing the cat, it's a cat who got white paint dropped on its back. So he thinks it's another skunk like him. And he's like, come here, right? He wants to kiss her up and everything. I was the female cat trying to get away from the circumstances, right? Joe kept saying, yeah, just come down. You can stay here. And I was like, why would I want to do that? Right? Why would I want to do that? And then his brother, I know the whole family. I knew his mother, I know the whole family, father, everybody. And his brother's like, you should go, you'd love it. Then his wife said, you'd really love it. You should go. And I'd be like, it's Florida. I don't want to live in Florida. I don't want to live in Florida. Is anybody listening to me? Nobody's listening to me. I don't want to live in Florida. Right? Loretta will tell you, this has been an argument. I don't want to live in Florida. And then it was, okay, there's no other avenue that is presenting. This avenue keeps pulling. And then Joe said in a session one day about his Wi-Fi, because I said to him, where are you calling me from? Because you haven't dropped the call. He was like, oh, I got 5G, right? That was when I knew, oh God, somebody shoot me right in the head. I'm supposed to go to Florida, right? I was such a resistance. I said, okay, the universe is sending me there. I'm gonna love every minute of it. I'm just gonna open my heart to it. I'm gonna love it, right? And so, was it perfect when I first got here? No, because then I realized I'm not bringing my stuff here. I can't. I have a bedroom, right? And Joe's like, yeah, you can put some stuff around the house. I'm like, I am not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm going to have this experience in the way that I'm meant to have this experience, right? But if we're in resistance to the change that the universe is asking us to make, we're going to miss some stuff along the way. We're going to miss some important things that are taking place along the way. Okay. So the minute I settled myself down and I got in the flow of being in the flow with what was presenting, I don't think there is a minute of the day that goes by where I don't say, I just love it. I am so happy. I am so blessed. I just love it. And it's not my house. I don't own the property, right? But there's something so magical, wonderful, and healing. Now, I will tell you what started that little excursion with my story was that I was going to originally tell you, but I had to explain where I'm living first, okay? I was going to tell you in the beginning that when I got here and Joe left to go to the academy, the first night that he was gone, my brain was like, what if somebody breaks in? What if somebody breaks in? There's nobody's going to hear you. Nobody's going to hear you. The closest person's never going to hear you scream. Nobody's going to hear you scream. You're not even going to hear them break in because the noise from the air conditioning, right? Because it has a central air from the air conditioning unit is overpowering everything in the house, and you're not even going to hear that. And then you have this and you have that and da 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 da, and it was just this constant noise, right? And because when you stand outside, if I go outside and there's no lights on, it is pitch black. You cannot see in front of you. You need a flashlight. There are no street lights here. Okay. I'm telling you, I live in the middle of nowhere. I'm in the boondocks. Okay. There's half of the roads around here are dirt roads. There's no street lights. Okay. It's the most beautiful, little hidey hole on the planet for sure. Okay. And I have probably about 3 acres or a little more of woods behind me, and then probably 3 acres of the neighbor's woods behind that 3 acres. So there's a lot of woods around me. And at night, you can go outside and you can see every single star. I see stars up there I didn't even know were up in the sky. Like I'm seeing new star formations I had no idea existed. And I'm saying this because I really want to make the point that I had to really do a lot of work to shed out that voice inside of me that wanted to create such fear, that wanted me to be afraid for my life because someone was going to break in and kill me, right? This is the ego. And so every night laying down, I would say, the minute I close my eyes, I'm in my quantum field. The reality that I've created with my eyes open goes away. I'm in the highest state. Would I, knowing what I know, ever create a condition where I would be, murdered by someone breaking into the house? No, that's definitely not something I need to play out. All right. I do not consent to that. Don't need to play that out in any way, shape, or form. It's not my vibe. And so imagine letting lasagna out at, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night as I'm heading to bed for one last round. And then I step outside with him and it's pitch black. There's nothing around. And you have to keep talking to yourself and going like, there is no such thing as a boogeyman. There's nothing lurking around the corner. There's nothing hiding, right? So what I'm saying to you is the work does not stop. It's nonstop, right? It's not like I landed here in, what I call heaven. This is my heaven. Might not be somebody else's heaven, but it's my heaven. And the work stops, or, there's nothing more for me to do. That's the furthest thing from the truth. That's not how it works. Not at all, right? I'm in this every day. Every day, I'm gatekeeping my thoughts. I'm playing the role of the gatekeeper to what I'm allowing in. And if it's not in my highest alignment, it doesn't get to be thought. It doesn't get to have room in my head. Okay. If something comes up this morning, I was waking up, I was in the ethers, and I was on some mountainside or something with a group of people. I don't recall who they might have been, but something happened and I slipped and fell and was kind of hanging over the edge, and I had to rely on them to pull me back up, and they did. I didn't fall off the cliff and die. But I re recall waking up from that and going, oh, that was interesting. And then never thinking about it the rest of the day because it had no relevance, right? It wasn't important. Wasn't important. But sometimes we forget that and we make that type of stuff important. And then we ruminate on it all day and let it take up space in our mind. Or we think about something that happened and we can't understand how that event happened. And then we sit and we let that play out over and over and over again. We tormenting ourselves, right? When it might have been something for you, for me, that was seemed like it might have been horrible. Why would that happen? But at the same time, it had great purpose to those that were experiencing it. Like when my father passed away, the I'm certain, knowing what I know as a med tech, that the nursing home didn't give him the stuff that you need to put in food to make it kind of slippery and go down the throat, because he was having trouble swallowing and had dementia, and he asphyxiated on his food, and that was how he passed, right? And in the beginning, when I first found that out, I had that thought in my head and thought about it and how horrible it must have been to go that way and everything else, you know. And because I wasn't paying attention, I was finding myself choking on my own saliva at times, right? And finally, at one point, I had this thought that was like, oh my gosh, I'm creating this experience so I could identify with his pain and suffering. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm creating it so that I can identify with his pain and suffering because I'm stuck in how he passed, that he may have suffered so significantly. And I could tell you from understanding how the soul operates, never happens that way. It never does, right? The human does not suffer. It's the experience the soul needs to have, and then the soul departs the body the minute that there's any real chance of pain and suffering. Only if somebody is meant to experience that real intense pain and suffering, they will survive it, to remember it, to carry it, to have the experience of it, right? And sometimes in situations, in certain situations, they don't remember it because they can't. Their consciousness won't let them have that memory. Okay, does that make sense to you guys? All right. So we have to be really careful what's taking place. I just have to let Bella in. Just give me one second. We have to be really careful with what's taking place because we don't want to not gatekeep thoughts that we're not really desiring to have. And if we're not paying attention, we're going to end up creating a reality that we don't want because we are not gatekeeping. So it is important that we remember to be cognizant of the thoughts that we're having so that we're not letting the ego run rampant and have a field day in our head, because then we're going to be creating things that we don't want, right? Like, if I keep thinking somebody's going to come here to get me, eventually somebody's going to show up. It has to be because we're creating all of that. We are creating it. It's not happening willy-nilly. It is because we are creating that experience in our mind. Okay? So we want to be really clear about all of it and not create things that we don't want to have experience from. Okay? So as you could see from what I've pointed out to you, I'm no different than you. I'm having to do this work just the same likeness as you. It doesn't change, it doesn't stop the higher you go. It might get a little more challenging or complicated because then we have other things to deal with that are, different types of circumstances now that are going to push you deeper, that are going to make drive you further into the I am, right? So, another thing you could journal is, do you pay attention to self needs? Do you pay attention to what you need, right? What is good for you? Every day, I tune in and say, what do I need right now? If I am not working, I say, what do I need right now? Now, Lasagna might need to go outside because he's bored and he doesn't want to be in the house anymore, but Maria needs to paint, right? So I might take him out for 15 minutes and be like, okay, here's your 15 minutes. And then I go in and paint because that's what's going to elevate my state of consciousness. And I have to remember he's a reflection of the reality that I create here. right? So where am I focused? Am I focused on serving the needs of another and having that reflect back at me as either I'm a good person or a bad person because I let him out or didn't let him out, or how long I let him out or how long I didn't let him out, right? At the end of the day, it's all about, did I serve the self? Because without the self, there is nothing else. Nothing else can exist. Does that make sense? This is important for us to have this awareness of, right? So, are we paying attention to self needs? Are we focused on outer appearances? How am I looking to the masses? Like, I show up today at my group or at my circle or wherever. How do I look? Do I look the part? Do I look, is everybody gonna accept me? Is everybody gonna think I fit in with them? Is every right? We have to be careful about that. We don't want to come that way. We want to come as our unique individual, and it's not important what somebody else thinks, as long as we're coming in the likeness of what it is that we desire to present as ourselves, right? Do you need others to make you feel good about yourself? So do you need other people to tell you you're doing a great job, or that they appreciate you, or that you're an upstanding citizen of your community, or any of that sort of stuff? Or do you already know that about yourself and you're okay with it and you're fabulous as you, right? Like if you have a YouTube channel, do you go on there and worry what people think about you? Or do you go on there and you just do your thing, right? You do your thing because you know what I'm offering is in its authenticity. This is who I am, right? And even if it's not in its full authenticity, eventually it will come to its full authenticity because your desire is to bring the best of you forward always, regardless whether somebody likes you or doesn't. Does that make sense? So this full moon is acting as a mirror on the wall for us, okay? Revealing all unhealed wounds, revealing to us dysfunctional patterns and deep truths about ourselves so that we can heal. Right? This is going to be a time of revelations and turning points. Very, very important. Also, something that's important, and again, I can use myself as a gauge for this. This moon, this dynamic between the full moon, and it's all happening on the 12th, the full moon in Libra and Venus coming out of her retrograde going direct. And then there's a conjunction and a bunch of other planets interplaying. We're not going to get overly specific here, but this is like a big crescendo, if you will. It's actually culminating whatever got started for you, for all of us, October 2nd, 2024. Okay. So for me, and I will use myself again, for me, September was the big brouhaha with Beth and her daughter. October 2nd was probably close to or around when I finally made the decision to sit down and say, hey, this isn't working. It's not going to work. You need to move to Florida to be with your daughter, and I'm going to figure out where it is I'm supposed to be. Right? So this is all coming to this ending. And so, if we look at that, we can look back and see what was something that took place back then, October 2nd, and see how that might fit in to what needs to be closed out here and now. Okay. And even though it's happening on the 12th, and I've been here a month already, I'm going to say for me, it was the move because it was talk about moving. It was a conversation about moving that took place. And that move, as we know, happened. Okay. And if I take this another step further, because I wasn't aware, but I was told that that Beth actually removed me as a follower from her Instagram page and then unfollowed me. I had no idea. So I thought that was very interesting. So if you're following her, she may have removed you as a follower and then unfollowed you. For those of you that she didn't do that to, if you want to unfollow her, you can do that. That's up to you. But she may have already unfollowed you if she didn't remove you as a follower to her page. I just thought that was interesting. But if we're talking about the endings, that falls right into the culmination of the endings. Okay. So we could see how it all plays out energetically. So this is where we're going to have these revelations and turning points, looking at really reflecting back at that start date of October 2nd, 2024, to see what was taking place there. And then look at where you may feel like you've lost a little bit of yourself, or you've lost a little bit of your way, right? Like you had an intention to do XYZ, you didn't do XYZ, and this is a direct result of that, right? And you find yourself maybe overcompensating, or maybe that you've lost a connection to yourself, right? A deeper connection to yourself. So it would be good to take a look at that. Okay. Because this is the time where we want to connect or reconnect or restore that deeper connection to self. So if we've let something else take preference in our life, we want to take our power back from that, right? We've given something else our focal point. We want to take our power back from that, okay? So all of this is because it's time to heal the wounds that we've carried, all right? And that means that we need to pay attention. And the themes that may play out or come up might surround rejection, self-worth, right? Insecurity, expressing our true self, our true nature. Our right to exist, our right to have a place, our right to have a place with them over there, as opposed to just here where I am. Okay. And what I would say is, with regard to the family wounds and looking at the generational imprints, can we stand back with clear vision and see those playing out in others? Okay. And Can we let it go? Can we finally make peace with it and let it go? Maybe, and this is pointing to something that Sue had sent me earlier, okay, because she sent me something through email, which I always greatly appreciate when people send questions, especially something that is so fitting for this. We can have a family dynamic where family member puts, or maybe it's the whole unit, puts pressure on to carry a large load within the family dynamic and take on responsibility. I had that young on, right? And what that did was that set this idea within myself that that was the way life had to be. I always was going to have the heavy load of responsibility. And when I look back at that, I could see that play out in every single job I've ever had. Now, I didn't want that, but it was almost like I was groomed for that position or that role. And in focusing on what we don't want, right? We get more of it because wherever our attention flows, that's where our energy goes. So, in the not wanting of something, we don't want it, we don't like it, we don't desire to have more of it, but yet more keeps coming and it keeps overloading us and we keep getting more and more responsibility. It's because we're so focused on not wanting it, not liking it, that we're actually creating more of it through law of attraction. Because law of attraction requires two basic things. It requires our intention, our focused intention, and it requires our desire. So if our desire is to not have any more, we're going to attract it to us. Does that make sense, Sue? See a couple of you shaking your head. So if we're not clear, if we're not clear in our focus, and we're projecting a desire for something, and that something is something negative that we don't really want, the universe is going to keep sending us more because it thinks we want that, right? It's like you thinking, I want a new car. I really want a new car. I need a new car, right? And then somebody in the family says, hey, I know you need a new car. I have this car for you. And it's this old beat up jalopy, and they hand you the keys, and you're like, no, this is not what I meant. This is not what I want. And they were like, oh, but you said you needed a new car, and this car is available, right? Well, you weren't very clear to the universe about what it was that you wanted. You just kept saying that you wanted a new car. You desired a new car, but the desire wasn't really defining the type of new. Because while that car that that person is giving you is an old jalopy, even though the car itself is old, it would be new to you. Do you see the game the universe plays? Okay. So we do have to get a little clear. We don't want to be overly focused. There's people out there like, oh, put the vision board, do this, the vision board, da 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 da. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because the sight is not going to be what activates that house coming to you, that car coming to you, right? You put the Mercedes Benz on the vision board, and you want that Mercedes Benz, and you look at it every day and you give it the glare every day, and you're like, that's the car I want. But there's nothing here. There's nothing in the heart center. There's no emotion to it, right? I had the client, and I've told the story 1,000 times. He wanted a G-Wagon in the worst way possible. And they hardly made any of them, especially the colors he wanted. He wanted the white with the gray or black interior. And all that kept showing up for him was the white with the red interior, and he didn't want that. And I said to him, have you sat back and envisioned sitting in it, close your eyes, and thinking of yourself surrounded by that beautiful white G-Wagon with the dark interior in it that's not red, that's gray or black? Have you thought about that sitting, how that would feel, how the steering wheel feels, how it feels to have that seat, what it would be like to, are you feeling that? Are you running that through your body? And he said, no. Why would I do that? And I said, how do you know you desire it if you can't feel it? Are you desiring it from your mind? Your mind wants it. Your thoughts want it. Is that an ego thing? And he sat there and he looked at me and I said, give it a try and see what happens. And he did. Within a matter of 5 days, he had two of them show up, white with gray interior. One that was in South Carolina and the other one that was in Connecticut. Okay. South Carolina showed up first and Connecticut came in second. And Connecticut was way better, a way better offer than the South Carolina vehicle. And it worked. And he was blown away. He said, okay, now help me do this so I can find a wife. And we did. And he did. He did. And then I didn't see him anymore because now he's got his life fulfilled, right? So I haven't seen him. If we have a desire for something, we have to be really clear what it is that we're desiring. If we don't like the overload of work, we have to start seeing ourselves as free and be like, I love the freedom I feel, right? So when we're feeling the freedom, I love this feeling of freedom that I feel. I have time to go for long walks. I have time to do things that are very important to me. I love how that feels. It feels very freeing. It feels liberating. I feel high. I feel joyful. I feel excited. And practice feeling that instead of feeling the desire for hating the over amount of responsibility, right? The excessive responsibility that you have. Does that make sense? Because that is really how we counteract this. It is all through desire, and that is one of the key factors to prayer. Prayer does not work. Most people don't even know that they're missing the key component to prayer, and prayer requires desire. You have to hold desire when you're saying a prayer for whatever it is that you're praying for, even for somebody else to get better. Okay? But it's left out intentionally because otherwise it would make us too powerful. Okay? So, because we're heading into the age of Aquarius and we're, driving the we instead of me, right? It's going to be important for us to look at how we're showing up in communities, okay? How are we showing up for other people? Can we step into those communities in our light and stand in the truth of who we are? And can we also, in the same way, look at the communities, people, places, and things that are no longer a vibrational match for us and let those go, no matter what? Can we be real and truthful and honest with ourselves and say, this no longer works, right? I had to do that when I left the house. I had to sit down and say, this no longer works. Cannot go backwards anymore. We've crossed the threshold of no return. You're going your way, I'm going my way. And I literally could see the friendship line dissolve. There was not even going to be that. And it played out exactly as I saw it, right? But I had a choice here. Was I serving the self, or was I serving someone else? Was I standing in my highest best good, or was I offering myself as a sacrifice to make somebody else feel better? Right? So how are we showing up? How are we showing up in our communities? Can you see your reflection in the community that you're in? What is that reflecting back to you? Because if something needs to happen, if you need to shift something about yourself, it will create an event so that you can play that event out and catch where you still have work to do. Does that make sense? Okay. You will see yourself reflected in the event, and then it will require you take a step back and say, now what? I see my reflection here. This is the old me. This is the me that's concerned with whatever, right? Can I let this go? Let it be what it is. I don't have to be the one with all the knowledge, the advice, the solution, or anything else. Maybe I'm not here for the purpose of a bazillion friendships. Maybe I'm here because I need to expand a part of myself that I could not expand any other way. Maybe I need to be here because I need to let go of judgments. And I could not do this any other way. So the universe put me here. Okay. Very important. So, if there is something that needs letting go, can you let go of your limitations and build better? Can you let go so that you can create from a higher place within yourself? Can you see that there is no need for perfection? That's the illusion again, because there is no such thing as perfection, right? So that we can create a better environment, dynamic, whatever for ourselves. How can you tell the difference between judgment and recognizing it's no longer for you? That's a really good question. When we're operating from a place of judgment, we will find something to make wrong about the community, the person, the situation, the circumstance, right? So that it could justify our feelings of being uncomfortable there. If we can look at it and say, like, let's say I go to a community, I'll use myself as a guinea pig. Let's say I go to myself, one of the communities around here, right? And I meet up with people who are doing a meditation workshop, let's say. And I walk in and I can tell from listening, not even saying anything. I haven't said anything. I'm not flashing my knowledge or anything like that. But I can tell from listening to everybody that they're stuck in the stories of what's playing out in the 3D, that they're stuck in, stories, gossip of who's who and what's what and all of that. At the place I'm at now, I probably would stay for the meditation and then not engage and just not go back because it's not a place that I would feel like I need to engage with because I don't resonate with any of that, right? And it's not a judgment because they need that experience. They need those experiences for their experience and their soul's growth, right? No judgment here. If I went into that situation and I was like, oh, listen to them. Don't they know any better? And then I started to spew my spiritual knowledge and everything. That would be me coming into judgment and thinking I need to show them or I need to teach them or, but if I recognize I come in and I quietly say to myself and I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy the meditation, receive whatever it is that I receive. I'm meant to be here for whatever reason it aligned with me to go, right? And then I have the meditation. I thank everybody there. It was very nice. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. And I leave and I go, okay, unfortunately, that's not my tribe. That's not a judgment. That is a placement. Like, that's not my place, right? They're not in likeness to where I desire to have my experience because they're desiring to have the experience within the 3D. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because that was such a great question because there is that fine line with that, right? And we want to make sure no matter what it is, we're not judging somebody, right? I was telling a story to Jen today about my friend who's in Minnesota who has had a horse ever since I've known her, right? And we started our spiritual journey with the same mentor going back way back when, Lisa Transcendence Brown, way back when. And I've known Jill for a very, very long time. It's not the Jill that was in the community, but I've known her for a very, very long time. And we always talked horses here and there and everything. And like every so often, I would get glimpses into how they managed their horses, how they managed their barn experience, after the horse being off all winter because they have harsh winters in Minnesota. The first nice day, all the girls at the barn, and I'm not talking about young girls, these are older women, We get together, hop on their horses, and think nothing of taking a 4-hour ride. And I used to say to her, I was like, you do know that's like going to the gym for 4 hours after not working out for a year, right? No, the horse can take it. The horse can take it. The horse can take it. And then, of course, 2 months later, her horse is lame, has some kind of issue with its leg or something like that. It used to irk me in the beginning. And being a horsewoman myself, there was this compelling need to give advice. And I'm talking like this is years ago. And when she got her last horse, I think it was just a couple of years ago, which she's now moved on from. She doesn't have horses anymore. When she got her last horse, she sent me pictures of him. I've read every horse she had, like when she had her first horse, Meg, that's the first horse she had when I met her. And I looked at the picture of Meg and then I told her, I was like, she lame in her front pastern. And she was like, no. And then 2 days later, she presented lame. And it was like a lame, you cannot deny bone spur. The vet said, no more riding. This is it. It's an older horse anyway. And then they gave her to a family that had another horse, and she was going to be a companion horse. And then she wanted to buy this other horse, a Palomino, really pretty mare. And I was like, don't buy her. She's got hind end problem. No, she drives like a dream. She rides like a dream. She's fine. She's fine. She's fine. And of course, you know, whatever they had her jacked up on, the butte or whatever, wore off after 3 weeks that she had her. And she was bad in her hind end. And then, you know, second horse, I was like, all right, I'm just, you know, not going to say anything anymore. So third horse comes along, she sends me pictures, and she's like, what do you think? And I said, well, I was like, I think, you know, you should do what you're going to do. And she's like, well, no, I want to know if you see anything. I was like, yeah, I see he's lame. He's got an issue. He's not lame right now, but he has had lameness in the past and his front left leg. And she's like, oh, the girl that owned him did say that he had some problems, whatever, but he's fine now. He's not lame. And a month later, of course, after she has him, he presents lame. But, you know, at that point, after that, after I said to her, you do what you do want to do when you buy him, I had no judgments, no reflections. When he presented as lame, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, because I had already cleared all those programs of needing to be right to satisfy my own ego, right? And these are the types of situations that I'm talking about where, you know, we can think that we're in somebody's pathway to to reflect the higher time to them, right? And like give them the solution and hey, I'm here and this is what you should do and blah, blah, blah. But you know, sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's about what we're getting from the experience as we're having an awareness of maybe, you know, how we're elevated in our consciousness, elevated in our thinking, wanting the best for not only ourselves, wanting the best for our horse, wanting the best for those around us. But not everybody is having that same thought, right? It's like anybody that you might have in your family, right? Yeah, when my brother was getting married, I wanted the best for him. I did not feel like she was the best for him. I know that there were, you know, many crazy issues there before, but he was set to marry her. And you know, after I said you're eloping and you're not having me at the, like, I'm your only living family relative. What? And it was like, well, we didn't tell anybody. We just told the kids. I'm like, I'm the only family member he has. Like, he has all of his kids are stepkids. He doesn't have, it's just me. And then at that moment, I realized, oh, shut up, Maria. It's not about you. It's about him. He's getting married. It's not about you. Right? It's never going to be about you. It's about him. And you have to learn to let go. And that was that. I let it go. I'm like, hey, do you, right? That helped me understand that, you know, just because he's my brother doesn't mean that I have to participate in the way of the family dynamic, the sibling dynamic, right? We've talked about this before where the family dynamic is kind of pulling apart now. It's making us look at family in a completely different way. And soul family, the same thing. There is no such thing as soul family anymore. That's kind of gone away too, right? And now it's more about finding our tribe. And I know that sounds backwards because we would think soul family would be more like high level spiritual, whatever. But no, it's not so much because even that was a game that we played. Now it's about finding those that add greater value to our life, right? That support our journey in whatever way that's going to be, that that we can have compassionate moments and understandings with, right? Instead of looking for the soul that's like, hey, You feel like you're my soul family. Oh, you feel like you're my soul family, right? Like all of those relationships, they're pretty much done. But if you're still hanging on to them, then you're not evolving into that next level within yourself. So we have to be really careful, like with the games that we're playing with ourself and the reality that we're in, right? Questions, how are you showing up in communities? Can you see the reflection coming back at you? Can you let go of your limitations and build something better? Are you evolving or are you staying stuck in the old? And then you're bringing that into the community, right? So we don't want to do that. We want to look, we want to be an observer, take inventory of what is playing out, or you meet a new friend. You take inventory, you see what that person is about, and then you make a decision. Can I engage with them? It doesn't mean that you're going to see eye to eye every time that you're connecting with them, but there's going to be this respect and understanding that's going to be like, well, if that's the way you want to do it, then, just carry on. Just do it. It's fine. Have at it. No judgment, right? No judgment, because we don't want to judge somebody else for the way they're doing something. Unless, of course, it might do harm in some way. And then we definitely don't want to see somebody be harmed in any way. So then I would have to open my big mouth and say something, because that would not be cool. Because I would want somebody to do that for me. So the collective awakening is happening because we're in these waves. And if you're following any of the Schumann, or you're following the solar craziness that's happening, right? We're having these solar radiation waves or solar flares. We have these three, maybe four, three ginormous, I mean, these just huge coronal holes that opened on the sun's bigger than I've ever seen in my life. The projections that are coming from there. There was one mo morning last week, I woke up and there were eight notifications that night. And I was getting messages from everybody going to me, I think I'm dying. My head is about to explode. I can't see. My vision is blurry, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a nightmare, until the field fills with enough light that it's able to carry us to that next level, we're going to keep feeling the effects of it. And that's how it works. Okay. So we will have to keep feeling it until we don't feel it anymore. When we meet our light quotient and we've taken in enough light, it doesn't happen anymore. Well, we get triggered when we make a timeline jump, like me coming here, right? I shed not just the house, not just the friendship. I shed the state of New York, the density of the state of New York, because I was an anchor for that energy on that grid system. Okay. So it required me to release all of that. Okay. Which was a very big thing. So now we're on the collective awakening, these energies from the sun, as we have these flares and the coronal mass ejections and the solar radiation and the protons. And when you can't sleep at night, it's gamma and all of this other stuff happening. It's creating an awakening in the collective. So mass awakening is happening where people can start to come on board and shed out the super illusion that they were under with the dysfunction that it carried. Okay. We're going to start to see this. We're going to start to see more and more people coming in. It's going to be like a wave coming into the shore. And the more people it collects, the bigger it's going to get. Okay. So we can expect that happening now. And I know many of you that are in the work are seeing it. Okay. Everything now is pointing to our psychic wellness, our psychic health. What are we doing to take care of ourselves? What are we doing to manage our intuitive nature? Are we getting enough sleep? Are we getting enough time grounding in nature? Are we shedding out when we catch ourselves being a victim? Are we shedding out the victim story and choosing a higher reality, a higher timeline, right? Are we letting go? Are you present? Are you in your life right now? Are you aware of life in this moment? Or is your day-to-day experience the illusion? How present are you? Right? Fast shifting energies. We're going to have to be very adaptable because they're not stopping these waves, these frequencies, these blasts that we're having are, the KP index, it's a monitor, it's an energy, it's a monitor for the solar activities, only goes up to six. We're hitting KP5 thresholds. Okay. We're hitting higher level everything. So far, the geomagnetic storms are still minor storms so that we're not blowing those thresholds out of the water. But the minute that those geomagnetic storms become a major active storm, look out. It's going to get interesting on planet Earth. One of the most important aspects that's taking place this month is that every planet is changing signs. Especially the outer planets. We talked about that in the last gathering that we had. Okay. The outer planets govern the collective experience, the inner planets govern our thoughts, and our emotions. Okay. So everything is about to be new. New. There is big change on the horizon, and we have to be okay with being part of that change and being in the flow. We are going to finally see, we've been talking about it forever, for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been talking about it, how the outer reality is starting to deteriorate and collapse. Well, guess what? It's starting to collapse. And if you're focused on the stock market, worrying about the stock market or anything else, stop. 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 There's nothing you can do. You have no control over it, and you are not going to lose anything. That's the false light reality. So do not give it any of your attention. Okay? You don't want to play there. What you want to do is you want to think about how can I navigate what is presenting and feel safe while going through it, right? How can I navigate the reality that's presenting and feel safe? That would be a good question to ponder, a good question to journal. Okay. Now, part of what I do for myself is that because I know that the reality is out there and it's the illusion, I don't give attention to it, right? And what I say is if I'm focused on it, and I'm giving attention to it. I'm feeding energy through it. I'm casting desire in my inability to manage myself. And if I'm casting all of those things into the outer reality and have to look at it, have to acknowledge it, fear what might be happening with it, fear what might be happening with my money, then I'm going to create that dynamic because the universe thinks I need to play it out. Do you hear what I just said? The universe thinks I need to play it out, so it is going to get created. But if I'm not focused there, if I'm not focused there, if I'm admiring the trees and I'm thinking about work and I'm thinking about I'm painting and I'm reading a good juicy book, right? Something that really, really is exciting. Maybe a book on magic, right? Something magical, some kind of magical reading or something like that. I can't possibly be creating in the outer reality, can I? Because I'm not giving my focus or my attention there. I could be doing crossword puzzles. I could be doing word searches. I could be doing anything else. I could be going for hikes. Right? To anchor into the reality I desire, I need to do at least one thing every day that's consistent. How I do it, when I do it, is not as important as the fact that I do it. Maybe it's taking a walk. Maybe it's taking a cup of coffee out and sitting under the pole barn with Bella and Lasagna, right? And just letting them play and have some fun in the morning and exercise themselves and just sit there and watch. And as I'm watching, I'm admiring the trees and I'm admiring the birds and all of that sort of stuff. My attention is not on the outer reality. It's not talking about the outer reality. Anybody that knows me knows I don't talk about the outer reality. There's nothing that drives me there. Maybe it's creating some kind of artwork. Doesn't matter what it is, right? That's another way to anchor. That's me. So for you, what can you do that's going to create that experience for you? Okay. That's something important to sit and think about. What's the one thing that you can do every day and be consistent with it, right? Maybe you're a juicer. You like to make vegetable or fruit juices or something, or smoothies or something like that. And you make yourself a smoothie or a juice every single day. That's your thing, right? Maybe you take a walk once a day. That's your thing, whatever it is, right? That's an anchor point for you, for your reality for that day. Okay. And when you find yourself reaching to pick up your phone, to scroll through social media or any of that stuff, stop. I want you to stop yourself as a gatekeeper to your thoughts. And I want you to challenge yourself and say, why am I picking up my phone? What am I looking for? What am I looking for there? Because if I'm looking to my phone to give me something, my phone is a distraction to take me away from my job creating the reality I desire. Do you hear that? Everybody paying attention to that one? Right? If I pick up my phone, what is on my phone that I need? Why am I looking at social media? Why am I looking at Instagram, Facebook, anywhere else? Why do I need to be distracted for 10, 20, 30, 40, an hour? Why do I need the distraction? It's distracting me away. It's because the ego is getting anxious with the amount of presence you're asking to give it. right? The ego is getting anxious. So right away goes to a distraction. And the other idea here is I'm looking to the distraction of the ego because I'm not enough for me, which is the bigger point out of all of it, right? I'm looking to the ego for distraction because I'm not enough for me. And then we spend that time and we're unconscious. We don't even know how much time we've spent scrolling. And it was worthless and pointless because all we're doing is looking at the fake outer reality, the fake illusion that's on there, that's created for us, by us, so that we could have the experience of looking at it. That's how it works. That's how it works. So it's important to look at this and understand this because we have a lot of gamma coming in, and that's targeting the nervous system. And if you can't sleep at night, you need the magnesium. Whether you take a supplement or you take the water, doesn't matter. You need it, right? So if you are uncomfortable with change, this year is going to be uncomfortable for you. My suggestion would be to start making friends with the idea of change because change is why we're here, right? The evolution of it is why we're here. Okay. I had no idea where I was coming. I've never been to Joe's house before I got here. Had no idea where I was going, what I was coming to, or any of that. But, and it didn't matter because I knew I was supposed to be here, right? Now, because the energies are so fast and so high, I don't feel like I ever lived in New York, right? Loretta will tell me what the weather is like there. And I'm like, oh, I remember it, but I can't really remember it, right? It's not in the field anymore because it's pulled out of the field. That's how fast the energies are. If we're willing to let go, everything shifts and it shifts very fast. But if we're afraid to let go, we're gonna go kicking and screaming. We're gonna be in resistance and have a more challenging time. Okay. So we want to make friends with change and have a healthy relationship with it. Make sure you do that one thing every day. Find the stability in that, knowing that that's your one go-to every single day. And then I want you to think about how change is changing you. The idea of change. What does that mean for you? I've already been playing with that because there's a part of me that's like, do I want a house? Do I want to buy a house? What does a house mean to like? I don't, maybe I'll just buy one of those big what do they call those? What the heck is that called, Loretta?
Winnebago.
Yeah, Winnebago or something like that, right? A camper, yeah. I'm like, maybe I want to buy one of those and just travel around the country with Bella, right? Like, do I need to be in a house? Do I need to have a specific location? I mean, the more I'm in the work, doing the work, being the work, the more I'm asking myself these questions. Because whereas I was like panging for my own house, that kind of has gone away. I don't even know what I feel toward a house. So it's very interesting. When we allow ourselves to be in flow with change, change happens in some ways we would never have imagined, right? So we need to lose the fear and get curious. Get curious. It doesn't mean that that's what I'm going to do. It just means that I'm shifting something within myself that I'm letting go of. Fear, I'm letting go of need, right? The need, I need to have that, right? I'm letting go of that. a lot of things that are unpacking here. We're in creation point energy. I talked about that, at the beginning. There have to be endings in order for there to be extraordinary beginnings, right? There have to be big endings in order for there to be extraordinarily big new beginnings. Do not fear endings. All right. We're in zero point energy. Psychic ability gets amplified here. Play with your intuition. Take time out to explore what you might need to explore for yourself. Seek out different communities, different connections, right? Share. Some of you come on here and you don't say much, right? You're not allowing yourself to be seen. That's number one, right? That's an important factor, is to be able to be seen, and then to be heard, to be able to come on and express yourself, or have answers to questions that you need, right? What you need to process through, if that makes sense. Okay. So if you are in the process of something big, if you're moving, if you're transitioning to something from somewhere, take a look at what is playing out. How is that reflecting to you what you need in order for you to shift? It's very important. This is where the work is. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? If you have a question, you don't want to come on the screen, you could throw it in chat. Hi, Sue. Come on.
I was just gonna say, I didn't tell you, Maria. We sold our house.
Oh,
Yay.
yay. Perfect
And
timing.
yeah.
Moving right now is perfect timing. We're lining up with new realities. Very, very important.
And today we got the call that Terry's mom's been accepted into the higher level care in her home, which provides us with more freedom.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yay! And Terry and I were on a walk the first hour of class because it is absolutely gorgeous and sunny here. So,
Oh, nice.
yeah, I'm
Very
just.
nice. I know that's welcome after all of that cold and rain and snow and all of that crazy, right?
Yeah, so I just wanted to say some happy light things.
That's great. That's wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that. That's awesome. And you bought a new house already, or you're looking?
Oh no, we don't want to own. We want to be more nomadic. So
Oh,
we're gonna rent a
okay.
place and
Who
like
knows? Maybe there's a Winnebago in your future too.
I know, like yes, that's going forward. We want to be more nomadic and either rent something or I don't know, and travel around and
We'll probably meet at a campground somewhere.
yeah, we'll meet somewhere for sure. It was so funny today because like we looked at this townhouse the other day and now. Like, remember when you said, like, the place isn't showing up yet? It's not time. And like, I was limiting myself. And now all the places that are coming up have everything that is on our list.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah.
And the townhouse we went to see the other day. I was talking to the owner today, and she said her mom does energy work and she cleared the place. And then we showed up. She said, we asked her if lots of people were looking because, like, there's this semi-reality of like not enough housing, right? And she said no, like people would say they were coming and then they wouldn't show up. She said, you're one of the first people who actually showed up, but that was after she did some energy work in the place. So that was kind of funny.
That's good. That's, it's the look at the way that's lining up, right? Yeah. So now you have somebody doing energy work in the place. I mean, the signs are all there that that's the direction you're meant to head in. So I say roll with it, right? No fear. I'm just looking for an email here. No fear, just let yourself be fearless and free yourself from the limitations that you may, impose on yourself, right? Because we don't want to do that.
It's so easy to do that.
Yep. Yeah, it is. I know Lisa had a question. She emailed me. So I would go with 100 crown point. Sounds perfect. Feels perfect because it's a one vibration, which is all about new beginnings. And your HR person was fired. That's good because there's new beginning and new opportunity there, right? Don't get attached to the old because the old is not staying. Anything that's not in alignment, let that go. And the check engine light came on in the car. Well, when a check engine light, we can't go anywhere in a car if the engine is not working properly. And so anytime I look at something like, check engine light, it's saying, where are you with regard to your move? Are you hesitating in moving forward? Right? Cars are how we move around in life. So if your check engine light is coming on, there's some hesitation, reservation, or something like that about moving, or there's some fear or something with that. So I would look at that. And definitely get that check engine light checked, okay? Because you want to check on that, okay? So hopefully that answers your question. Anybody else have any questions before we go? No? Everybody's good? Okay. I know this we're getting into higher stuff now. It's only going to get higher and higher and higher. Expectations pushing us higher, okay? It's not going to get easier. We're going to have to really push ourselves through this year because this year is going to be challenging with energies. It's all going to play out in the outer reality, looking like it's the outer reality. That's, the challenge, but it's really not. It's the inner reality, and it's these higher energies that are coming into the body that are really pushing us to let go of what we're still holding on to in our field that just cannot come with us anymore. It just can't. Okay. So we have to really be present for that. Jen?
Okay, so you know what my issue is. So it's a barn. I'm at a new barn. I'm gonna explain myself to everybody. I'm at a new barn with Tink. And we're amazing together. Like today, we did groundwork, we did flag work. He was really, really good. And then I did like the normal thing. I let him like relax for a half hour. I go to go get him, and he got a little spooked, which wasn't normal. And then I had him on cross ties, and what cross ties are, it's like these two leads that come to hold him, and all of a sudden, which he never does, he actually flipped out and like went backwards, and they're like two leashes, pulled them off totally. And I was like, wow, look at that. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I think I created that, because like I have this whole emotion towards being there that I haven't released, I guess, from the other barn.
Yeah, and it could also be that you had expectations. Sometimes when we come into a new environment, we're leaving an old environment because the old environment did not give us exactly what we needed, right? And you know that the barn that you were at, it was facade only, right? It was how it appeared, but there was nothing. There was no cement underneath it, right? Like it was all empty, right? And that barn owner wasn't for the good of the horses or the owners. It was more about the monetary factor for that particular person, right? So coming into the new barn is full of people like my friend Jill in Minnesota, who, they do their own thing. They have their own way of doing it. They've been a group for years and years and years. You're the first new pe person to come in. And, they're old school. And, if they had to, they would use shoestrings, shoelaces for the cross ties, because that's, they're not horse etiquette people. They're just not, right?
Yeah, so that's, I'm having a challenging thing
Yeah.
because I'm so like it has
Yeah.
to be one way.
Well, because you're judging them and
Okay.
you're judging yourself
Yeah.
for judging them. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's complicated. So what I would say is, if Tink broke the cross ties and you offered to replace them with real cross ties, and they put up the old cross ties again, tied another knot, fixed it, and retied the shoelaces that just broke when they tried to tie their shoes, right? Because they're attached. That's attachment. Okay, they're attached to that, to the old stuff that
Okay.
they have, right? That's 3D. They're attached to the old stuff, so they want to hold on to those cross ties that aren't safe, but they feel emotional toward letting them go. Okay. Now, here's what I would do. This is my take on this, right? Because this is m mostly for you to let
Yeah.
go of judgment, right?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything wrong because they're emotionally attached to these, to the way that they've always run this barn. They've always run it this way. It's always worked for them. And now, because the energy has shifted, it's not really working anymore. But you can't come in there and say, "Hey, let me show you my fancy guns. I'm a straight shooter. I could shoot the can off at 200 feet away," right? You're not going to do that, right? You're going to come in and you're going to be like, "Okay, I broke the cross ties. I'm going to order new ones from Amazon." And then they text you back and they go, "Oh, why don't you go ahead and just cancel that order, because I went out to the barn and I used my shoelace to restring those cross ties, and there's no need for you to be doing that or fretting about anything. And I don't need, I don't want you spending your money, your hard-earned money on new cross ties. And there you go, going like, it's really not a problem because I'd rather get you the cross ties and my horse be safe. But how do you say that without being insulting? Right?
Yes.
Because then that's a judgment.
Yes.
Right? So the best way to handle this would be to not cancel the cross ties, get the cross ties, keep them on the side. Okay. And if that should happen again, not that you want it to, because remember, we're creating all of it so that we could have the experience and the lesson, right? But if it should happen again, you'll have the cross ties in your tack trunk, and you could just throw the cross ties up and you'd be like, listen, I am so sorry. I never canceled that order, threw them in my tack trunk because I was concerned that maybe Tink would do the same thing twice, and he did. So I fixed it. There's new cross ties, and hopefully it doesn't happen again. I'm really super sorry, blah blah blah, right? And it has nothing at that point to do with the fact that they used some old, outdated, antiquated system to secure the horse so that they could groom it. Because for them, these old cowgirls that don't know any better, right? That might not be taking safety into consideration, that doesn't want to know how to properly train their horse so that they could have a safe ride and feel safe riding it. They'd rather have their husband lead them around in the ring. You're not going to change that, Jen.
No, I get that, you know.
You're not going to change that. So you have to look and say, this is not about them, it's about me. How can I shift my perspective and my judgment so that I can have an easier time at this barn?
Yeah, I understand that. And then another thing that irked me the other day was I noticed the board was down, then I see three nails sticking out. I'm like, okay, great. I'm like, if my horse gets like, just rubs against it, that's a vet bill for me.
Okay, so did you take a picture of it and send it to her?
I didn't because like it's only been 8 days and I feel like that Derry got me on the blankets because they were doing the blanket changes. Now this and then, I mean, I just
But it's showing you like nothing is going to be perfect, right? Either
No,
take a
no.
hammer, and bang them down so that they're flat, right? And really bang them into the board so that there's no point sticking out at all. Or take a an a wire cutter or something, a big, and just clip the nail so that it's flush flat, bring your husband down, they have him do it, whatever. And just let it go, because there's never gonna be a time where it's ever gonna be perfect.
I know.
Right? I mean, I met the woman with the body butter here, and she's a horsewoman, and she ended up getting rid of her horses when they moved here to Florida because she was worried. It never happened, but she was worried about her horses sand colicking on the sand. So, to me, that doesn't make any sense. You're so worried about something that has not even happened that you're projecting into it so seriously that you have to make the amends before the possibility of it happening happens. Do you
Yeah,
see
no.
how that does not make sense?
Another thing I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it's an opportunity for me to teach him how to ground tie.
You know what? I think there's a thousand opportunities here for you that's only going to make you a better horsewoman in the end. You understand what I'm saying? And when you look at it, you could say, this barn is very comfortable. It feels like home. He's really safe there. You got the trails right there for summer riding and everything. You've got a bigger ring that you're riding in. There's a lot of pluses there. The owner of the barn really cares about the horses and she's vested, and it's, if anything ever happened, they'd be on it there. Whereas the place you were at, he did not give a hoot, right?
Yes.
Balance,
I agree.
you know,
I agree.
right? We have to, they're old school. Probably never going to have a horse again after their horses
Possibly.
move on.
Yep.
I mean,
Exactly.
yeah, and they're doing the best they can, right? If you look at any of them, would you say any of them are doing ascension work? No.
Oh, no,
They're the
not
furthest
at
thing
all.
from it, right?
Not at
But
all.
what is this offering you? And this goes for everybody here having the same experience that Jen's having. It's offering you an opportunity to let go of judgment at a deeper level. And also, because of what happened with the blankets and the texting back and forth, and then also with this, where they said to you, oh, don't worry about it, just return the cross ties where, we put the old ones up, and suddenly you took that personal and looked at it like
Yeah.
you didn't have worth, or the offering that you were making. Here's my gift of cross ties. Oh, you don't want them? Oh. Okay, well, I thought I fit in here. Maybe I don't fit in. They don't want to accept my gift. Right?
Yes. And
So
I
do
even
you.
got a hose nozzle because I had a leaky hose. It was driving me crazy.
Yeah,
Like,
that's okay. Listen, it's okay. And, if they say anything to you, say, yeah, I just felt like I wanted to replace it. I hope that's okay. Only because I happen to be neurotic. Blame yourself on me. I happen to be neurotic about a drippy hose. That's all, right? But don't overthink it to the point where you're creating a dynamic that's going to create some kind of contention, and then you got a problem with the newborn.
Got it. Yeah, I hear you.
I'm telling you, gatekeep those thoughts.
Yes, I've been working on it, Chelsea.
Gatekeep them.
Okay. All right,
Okay.
sounds good.
All right. Anybody else before we go? Any final questions? No? Okay. The next class, the next gathering. Sorry for the crazy emails. I was so distracted. Not used to having Lasagna, who wants to be in everything, put his nose in everything. And I'm like, go lay down so I can focus. I can't focus, right? I need quiet. I'm learning too. We're all learning, right? The next class is on the 17th. It's Divine Alchemy at 1 p.m. And if anybody wants to do any extra work, Arlene is running a 6-week program. I know I think there's only 5 left, right, Arlene? Yeah. We did the first one yesterday. It was a lot of fun, a lot of good information. She's doing the different organ systems of the body and tying it to traditional Chinese medicine, and very interesting as we're using breath work and sound and stuff like that. So if anybody's interested in doing any additional work, see Arlene, message her in Instagram, and she will give you the details on it if you feel like you want to venture into that. Okay, just as another exploration, because it was really a good class, very informative and enlightening. All right. So if nobody has anything else, you sure? Going once, going twice. Okay. Just giving everybody an opportunity. All right. We're going to end it here, guys. Know that I love you so much. Thank you all for coming on the call. It was nice to see everybody tonight. And I look forward to seeing you in our next gathering on the 17th. And like I said, please re-listen to this class. There's a lot of key points in here. You absolutely have to stay in the work now. It's imperative, okay? Because this year is gonna be a roller coaster ride of a lot of changes, big changes, because this is the year the collapse of the outer reality is actually going to happen. So don't panic with anything that happens. Don't panic. Just remind yourself it's just the illusion. For all intents and purposes, trust me when I tell you, all of this that we're seeing coming down right now, like the financial system, the medical, and that already collapsed back in 2020. It already collapsed way back, right? But because the energies underneath it were collapsing, it's like a cartoon. You ever see on a cartoon where something collapses and then whatever it was that was on top of it stays in place for a few more minutes, and then all of a sudden it goes and it just falls right down? And that's what's happening now. So look at it in that respect, okay? And don't panic, because we're all going to be fine. We're all going to be better than fine. Like, it is going to be the best of the best of the best. So do not fear it. Okay? Do not fear it. Just stay right inside. Point right inside. Do not watch it. Okay? And I will see you all back here on the 17th. All right? All right. I love you guys so
Love
much.
you.
Love
Bye-bye.
you.
Love you.
Have a wonderful rest
Bye.
of your week.
Bye.
Goodbye.